the same. Isn't it funny how life changes? You never know what's gonna happen. You make your plans and you hear God laughing. Yeah, life changes. That can sometimes fit in a little too close to home at some points and some days. And for Abraham, the gentleman we're going to be looking at today, I'm sure the idea of leaving his home, leaving his family, leaving everything he's ever known to go to a place that he has never known, had to seem like God was asking him to do something extraordinary to the point where that couldn't have been questioned. And it could have been a question, had God really thought this one through? The craziest part is that wouldn't be the craziest thing God would call him to. Sure, as we hear the stories, as we've gotten to hear all of the ministry that the Hagemeyers have been doing over in West Africa, and the way that things have twisted and turned, sometimes you wonder, God, what's the plan? For many in life, when you're going through different things, when you're walking through different areas in life and things don't go as you plan, things don't seem to pan out the way that you're thinking, things don't seem to add up, you wonder, God, what's your plan? What is your plan? And we've been talking about, through the last few weeks, finding out that we are undercover. That each and every one of us are under the cover of something, and oftentimes we wonder what that is. We've seen so often that God gives his people a choice to be covered by his knowledge, his wisdom, his protection, his creation, his provision, or we can choose to cover up ourselves. And in the craziness of life, in the craziness of plans going awry, we gotta ask, what are we under the cover of? If we're gonna choose to be covered by God as God calls us and as God calls Abram, we each have three questions we're gonna have to grapple with. And those questions come in the midst of the calm. The first question is, who holds the compass? Who holds the compass? In Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to be today, and we meet this man named Abram. And the Bible has ran us through this at this point. The story of Genesis has ran us through Adam and Eve. It's ran us through Cain and Abel. It's run us through this continual spiral of people choosing to do wrong, of people rejecting God. It runs us through people like Noah, where we get this bright spot in the midst of all of these stories of darkness. Of a man who is righteous and chooses to listen to God. And it runs us right back down again, and eventually we get to this man named Abram. And we meet him and his family, and all of a sudden we get this call from the Lord. And the Lord calls down to this man named Abram, and he says in chapter 12, the first four verses, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." God says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." And it says this amazing thing. It says, "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And so in this question, Abram is in one part of the world, and God, who we're going to see, is going to call him to the other side of the known world. A place he has never heard of, a place he has never been, a place where he doesn't have anyone around him, and doesn't have a circle around him to be able to help him out. And in this question of who holds the compass when we're covered by God, we have to ask, who is it who tells you where to go? Sometimes that question is for the big decisions in life. Sometimes it's for the questions of where will you live? What will you do? What's your career choice going to be? Where will you take your family? Sometimes it's also about just what are you going to do with where God has called you? Because if God holds the compass, if God places you where he has directed you, what are you going to do knowing that? Because life changes when we think that we're here by chance, or when we're here because God is leading us to an opportunity. We look at the world a little bit differently. For us, it's about what are you going to do with where God's placed you? If you know that God has you where you are, how do you react knowing that? How do you interact with your neighbors? How do you interact with your coworkers, with your classmates, with those you run into in the store? How do you step out into the areas that God is leading you? We begin to see it in our lives that when we're covered by God, we're also called by God to do something with it. God says in this introduction here, when he calls Abram, he says, I will bless you and I will make you blessed. He says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you with this blessing. He says it doesn't end there. I'm going to use you to be a blessing to others. And for each and every one of us, we have this choice when we're covered by God. Are we going to take that covering, or are we going to huddle under it and just think that we can hide out in this? Are we going to allow God to do what he's called us to do and to be a blessing to others? And for some of us, we have to look at this question. We first have to think about, how do we know where God's leading us? Because sometimes that can be confusing. That can be difficult to see where God's leading us. And so we have to get into this practice of asking God, where are you leading us? How long do we spend each day before God asking for his guidance and direction in our lives? How often do we pray that he's the one that will direct our steps? We make plans in our hearts, but we have to ask God to direct us where we go. Steve today in Sunday school, he used this line that really caught me. He said, pray today what you want to see tomorrow. I thought that was amazing. Pray today what you want to see tomorrow. And for so much of the world, we're worried about what God wants to do with us, what God's plan is for us. And if we want to see what God wants us to do tomorrow, if we want to see even what God wants us to do with the rest of today, are we asking him about it? Are we going to him and saying, hey God, what do you want for my life? What do you want in my life? What do you want me to do with where you have me? There will be times when the compass seems to be spinning, but we can be confident that the God that made the mountains can work out the pebbles that seem to trip us up. In Abram's story, God has to assure him of this over and over. He comes to Abram in the beginning and he makes this call to him and he says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. He gives him this protection that he's going to be under. But God continually has to remind Abram that I got you. That you're not going at this alone. So one of those times, he goes off and he follows God in this amazing way. He goes across across this desert land. He goes off out into this wilderness, and he arrives at this place where God is leading him and God is directing him, and he looks around, and things are going all right. But they're looking around and they're saying, "Hey, I got my stuff here. I got my sheep that are need to be grazing." And he brings with him his nephew Lot and his family. And they all have servants. They all have sheep. And things are going all right, but they're going a little too well almost. And they're wondering, "Hey, you know what? This grassy area, it's not going to sustain us." And so Abram and the one person that he brought with him have to separate. And so Abram's sitting there with just this remnant of who he brought out of the land with him. And he's worried that he can even take care of the people that he has brought with him, this small group, and he's wondering how in the world is God going to use him to be formed into a great nation. He's worried about what it's going to mean for his future. And things begin to unravel all the more for Abram. And he gets into this low area, and it tells us that after all of this, in Genesis chapter 15, after all of this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very good." Abram had been through a lot of this moment. He had had to go, and he literally had to fight people off just to be able to protect his people, his nephew. And in the middle of that, in the middle of going in, swords drawn, he gets done, and his nephew still says, "Hey, no, I'm going my own way." And in all of this, God just looks down to Abram and he says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your very, very good one." And what Abram does is he takes that God has strengthened him with and says that Abram believed the Lord and was credited to him as righteousness. Abram made this decision that he was going to walk with the Lord when things didn't seem to add up, when the compass started spinning. And even though Abram believed the Lord, Abram did what many of us do. Because, you know, Abram did a great job. His story is kind of parsed out into three distinct times. And Abram did a great job in this first one. It's this question of who holds the compass. And Abram says, "You know what, God? I am going to lean on you. I am going to trust you. I am going to believe in you." And it's credited to him as righteousness. He hands God over the compass and he says, "You know what? I'm going to follow you where you go." But the second question that we have to ask ourselves and that Abram had to ask is, who holds the watch? Because God had told Abram with his first call that God would make Abram into a great nation, meaning that God would create from Abram's line a nation, a people's group, a kingdom. To do that, there needs to be kids in the picture. And for Abram, he looks around at the people that have come with him, and Abram stands as a 75-year-old man with his wife that is getting up there in age as well. having children, God, you're going to make me into a nation. We got some work to do here. Abram's left his family on the other side of the known world, and Abram's closest relative that he's come with has run off with his salty wife. I'm not going to know the story. Abram has no evidence at this point to the fact that even the very first of God's promises would even come true. Where he's at, he thinks that he's followed God this far. And I'm sure he's wondering where it's gotten him. So Abram and his wife come up with this plan. A plan that involves a servant girl and ends with a son for Abram. And as things progress, we see that when we take the watch away from God, when we try to force God's timing, things begin to unravel, and that's exactly what happens for Abram, his wife, the servant girl, and for his own son. And so we get to this point once again in Abram's story where there's division. And God has to step down, and he has to step in to direct Abram on the way that he is to go. And in Genesis 17, it says, when Abram was 99 years old. He was 99 years old. Remember, he was 75 years old when God had called him the first time. For 24 years, Abram had been following God and waiting on when God's first part of his promise would begin to come true. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram's reaction? Abram fell, face down. Abram fell, face down. It says, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and me and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you. I will be your God. And says, let me hold the watch. Let me show you what's going to happen. God promises time after time in this call, in this covenant. He calls him time after time and says, I will make you a father. I will make you fruitful. I will make you numerous. All of these things that God is calling Abram to. And you see, sometimes God calls and he plants in the heart of his people what is to come to get them beyond what they're doing. God gives Abram the promise of a son to get behind beyond the loneliness of the desert. Later on, God's going to give a man named Joseph a dream to get him through being sold into slavery. God's going to give Moses a glimpse of the promised land to get him through the wandering in the desert. God gives humanity the promise of a seed that will crush the head of the serpent to get them through the days of the serpent strikes the most. God is reiterating over and over. Genesis chapter 18 says it once again, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord, to do what is right and what is just. So the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. And says, I am going to do the things that I have promised. I am going to work in the way that I have promised you. Whose time are you going to go? The final question that Abraham has to wrestle with, that we have to wrestle with today, is not only who holds the compass, not only who holds the watch, but who holds the stars? In Genesis chapter 22, we get to this point in Abram's journey where God has given him a son. God has remained faithful and he has fulfilled his promises. Abram has a son. In Genesis chapter 22, it says that sometime later, God tested Abraham. You may remember the story. God says to Abraham, Abraham, here I am. God says, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. He says, go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Abraham had followed God's compass. Abraham had been waiting on God's timing. For 100 years, Abraham had been missing what God had promised him, that a son would be born, and God provides the son, and then God says, take your son, the son I have given you, your only son, the one that you love, take him and sacrifice him. We get the privilege of looking back at Scripture. We get the privilege of the footnote that says sometime later God tested Abraham. We know that something's going to happen, that God's going to work in a way that's incredible. But all Abraham had was compass and faith. That when God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, and sacrifice him there on the mountain, all Abraham had was, say, God, I'll follow. Say, God, you hold the stars. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw a place in the distance, and he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I have a waiter over there. We will worship the Lord. Notice what's interesting in this. So we will worship the Lord, and then we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. So it says the two of them went up together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram Abraham answered, God himself will provide. God himself will provide the land, the burnt offerings. And the two of them went off together.
Thank you. God saying that he would come and live.
God gives us the covering he needs. He gives us the blessings so that we can bless the world. God offers an opportunity to cover this world with what we've been given. We have been blessed with the fact that we have the opportunity to build a relationship with God because of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is given to us. As we go out today, as we make decisions in our lives, will we share that blessing that God has given us? Will we extend that help? God loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son, the Son who he loves, so we can have life. That's what it is. We pray for him. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your love, for your covering, God. We know that so many times we choose to try to cover ourselves, we choose to try to make our own ways, make our own plans, to make our own timing, but God, you remain faithful. You remain faithful even when we are. God, we pray today that you will show your direction for our lives, that we can honor you, that we can give glory to you, that we can praise your name.